Turn in your Bibles, if you would, as we're getting ready for today's message to Genesis chapter 19. Today's message is called Moving On, and we're going to be talking about moving on in the church body, different people moving on, and what that represents. We're going to look at a couple stories. We're going to have an opportunity at the end of service to pray over a couple individuals. We can pray over anybody. So as we go to Genesis chapter 19, we're going to be looking at the story of Lot and him leaving some things behind. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12, Genesis 19, verse 12. And before we get started there, Abraham came in to intercede for the city of Sodom. There was a lot of sin going on. And so Abraham said, "Let me intercede for the people." And God told him, "I'm going to wipe that town out." And remember the story, if you remember the story, Abraham said, "Man, what if we just find 50 good people? Will you wipe out everyone? If we find 50, will you spare them?" But remember, he put a little bargaining chip in there and a little wedge, and he said, "Surely, God, you wouldn't do this, would you?" So God said, "Okay, fine." I'm guessing he probably knew that town pretty well, both Abraham and God. He said, "Well, how about 45? And then that bargaining started going down. "Well, how about if we find 40, 30? Got down to 10. "God, if we find 10. So as we pick up the story in verse 12, it says, "Then the men said to Lot, 'Have you anyone else here?' And it said, some angels came and appeared to him. It says, 'Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place.'" And we've got to think. You're getting a big warning sign. A lot of times we want someone to come up and say, "Why didn't you warn me that God would do this or this would happen?" This is a sign. Someone stood there and said, "Hey, do you have these people? Get them out of the city. Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place." Why? "Because the outcry against him has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it," to destroy that city. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." Some of us have gone to our friends and warned them, and it was the same response that Lot got. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Younger people, teens mostly, and a few sprinkled around. When you go to your friends and you're serious about your faith and you want to tell them about it, and they look at you and say, "You got to be kidding me." Think of this. Think of this. They thought they were joking. But so long as you're doing your due diligence to be faithful to God, He'll take care of you, as we'll see in the end. Verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. Did you hear that? While he lingered, God says, "Move on. Hurry up and get out of here." "Well, let me go clean. Let me go check the cupboards. Let me go check." No, he said, "Get out of here." The men the angel sent there took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters. The Lord, being merciful to him, allowed that. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they brought them outside, they said to him, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains." Why? "Lest you be consumed and destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil overtake me and I die." See, now this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live forever. And he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. He said, I'll take care of that. I was going to destroy that city, but that's where you want to go. The angel said, I'll have mercy on you, and I will not destroy that city. But again, they said, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Now let's take just a minute and think about situations we may come upon in our life. God says, hey, go do this. You say, okay, I'll get to it when I feel like it, when I'm ready, when I feel moved by the Spirit to do that. Wait, I'm not the only one that ever says that or does that, am I? You guys were awfully quiet. Okay. I saw a couple of people saying, yeah, okay, we did. So we take our time. But we think, God, man, where's this blessing? You said you were going to do this. He says, yeah, but sometimes I cannot do that. I cannot start this in your life until you get there. Where's there? To that point that I've said, go there. We tend to stop short and think, well, we've gone far enough. Colton, your message a while back, you said you were going to these boundaries. And you'd get to them. And sometimes you'd tap dance on them. And then little by little you'd go further. Well, just as that pertained to sin and going across and crossing that line, God also says, man, that's the same line in committing to me. You got close to committing to me, but you fell a little short. We baptized you a little while back. Man, you had passion. He said, man, return that passion. And we got a little close. I'm not saying you fell short. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying we want to make sure we get to that line. And then we keep moving on. And we press past that. He says, for I cannot do anything, in verse 22, until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Zoar, if you want. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are places, not people. Okay? Read Genesis 19. Those are places, not people. People are going, I don't know who Sodom and Gomorrah were. Were they husband and wife? No. No, get in your Bible and we'll read this and cover these things. And he said, he rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. He didn't leave anything behind. But his wife looked back. Lot's wife looked back. And she looked back behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. Well, there was this big warning back there. In verse 17, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Now, they did give him a concession, agreed to let him stay in a little city in the plain. But everything else was wiped out. And his wife did not obey. And she became a pillar of salt. Verse 27, Abraham went out early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. That intercessory prayer from other people. In us being intercessors in other people's lives is so important and so valuable. When they were talking about that, and God was talking to Abraham, he said back in chapter 18, he said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. He'd had it. Matter of fact, when the angels came in, Lot's hanging out at the gate to Sodom. And he said, well, come hang out at my house. And he went in there and let him in. And then the men of the town came and they're banging on those doors saying, let us in. Let us at those two guys that you let in. And Lot said, no, not going to do that. And then they start pressing in to attack him. And the two guys opened the door, pulled him in, and they remained safe. for the time being. But they had to move. As we look at this story, it was time for him to move on. He couldn't go back. He couldn't even look back. The angels made it clear, don't look back there. You have to get out of here and move on. Made it very clear, hopefully, when they turned his wife into a pillar of salt. Why? Their sin is very grave. You know, moving on is tough sometimes. Pastor Jack Eldred founded this church 31 years ago. And when Pastor Eric and I took on these new roles 5 years ago, I got to tell you, from my perspective, I was scratching my head going, man, are we going to be able to move on? Now, where God is and where you follow God, you're able to move on. But I want us to listen carefully. It's tough sometimes to move on because we want to go back to old relationships. They're comfortable. They're not right, but they're comfortable. So we tend to go back to old relationships. We want to go back to old jobs or hang on to jobs that we know we should move on. This isn't the right fit for me. It's not a right setting. We go back to old sins. We go back to old addictions because moving on is tough. We go back to old people that we hung out with because they were comfortable and familiar. And now I'm either alone or I've got to find new friends. And both of those are uncomfortable for me. So we want to hang out with old people. Now listen carefully. Sometimes it's hard to move on past old hurts. Because we're still comfortable with people or places where that hurt has occurred. Or because we want to go back and address these things. And God says, you don't need to go back and address everything all the time. Sometimes you address it with me, and you don't have to go back to that hurt to deal with it, to give them a piece of your mind and all those things. He said, I've got this. Man, if you lay it at my feet, I'll take care of this. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. But that moving on is tough. So we're going to look at a couple different things where people have moved on. Lot had to move on. He could not go back. He not only couldn't go back, he couldn't look back. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, I was going to just read a little bit of this, but I thought, no, let me cover the whole thing, 57 through 62. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Churches have many empty chairs of people who said that same thing. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Hey, where'd they go? Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Where'd they go? Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Now listen to this, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That moving on, once we make that commitment, is difficult to do. The heading above my Bible says, the cost of discipleship. It costs a lot to be a disciple of Christ. We have to move on past people, past things, past habits. We have to move on to a new place, and that new place is the new man. But he says, man, when you accept me as Christ, you have the new man. And you don't have to be the old person anymore. As a matter of fact, not only do you not have to be, you are not the old person anymore when you accept me as your Lord and Savior. Now let's flip to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll read one more story and make a comparison here. And in Luke chapter 15, it's a story we've talked about before. It's the parable of the lost son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, you know, one of the songs we sing says, have you come to the end of yourself? And I love that. I mean, let's face it. We try and fix ourselves and fix our situations, or we don't even try and fix it. We just try and deal with it on our own. And as a last resort, then here, oh God, please. And this is the same thing there. When he came to himself, or when he came to the end of himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and some to spare? But me, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still, listen carefully, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. There's a party in the house for most. Verse 25, the other. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Of course. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and he pleaded with him. Man, son, your brother's come home. Come join the party. So he answered and he said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is now found. I'm reminded of our Bible study Wednesday evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we read that, and we read in chapter 12, verse 26, it said, if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. And I said, why do we have a problem with that? The perfect example. Father, I've been here. I've been serving you, working hard. This guy takes your money, he blows it, and he just comes sliding back in here, looking like a bum. And you put a ring on his hand, put sandals on him, get a robe for him, kill the fatted calf, and we're having a party. And we're celebrating this guy. You didn't throw a party for me. I couldn't throw a party for myself. And the Father breaks it down as He should to all of us. Man, you don't get it. You're always with me. You see, we're walking side by side every day. Those hard times you go through, for me, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. All that I have is yours. You just simply ask. It was right that we should make merry and be glad. But Father, what made it right? Oh, my son. Your brother was dead. He was dead and he is now alive. He was lost. You get what we mean, lost? He was lost, but now he's found. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. We sang the song today about leaving the 99. Why? To find the one that was dead, to bring him back to life. To find the one that was lost and is now found. To help the one that was blind now see. Rejoice with those people. Our pride and jealousy stands in the way of our moving on so many times. Moving on, we looked at two different stories today. One moved on and had to press on and keep going. He could not look back. He could not go back. The other left. And not only could he return, but he did return. I want to point out one more thing. It said when he was a great way off, some say when he was afar, when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now, how is it that his father saw him a great way off? Because he was looking for him. Every day while he worked, he's looking for him. No, that's not him. That's not him. Oh my God, today is the day my son has returned. He saw him a great way off because he was looking for him. He waits for us to return to him. Today, we're looking at different people moving on. We're getting ready for baptism. David, come on up. We're going to do baptism here in just a minute. We've got the Ferris family is moving on. They're going to Washington, D.C. Do I have the location correct? Washington, D.C. Alone in itself, pray for that. But they'll be leaving, but they will be returning. Be gone about a year. After our baptism, we're going to pray over them. We're going to pray over David and his baptism. He's moving on. Where? To a new journey in his faith walk. His family is here. My son is moving on. That's personal. But so is that, and so is that. Basic training. Those of you in the military may think, yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah, tell his father that. I've got a book I bought him years ago when I traveled a lot. It said, Daddy, will you miss me? I said, man, I'll always miss you, son. And I can't wait till I come home and I will miss you. And I used to sit and read that to him. I thought, oh, how the tables have turned. Daddy, will you miss me? Heck yeah. We're going to pray for him also. Also because it's Lawton, Oklahoma in August. And then he'll go to Fort Leonard Wood for his AIT training. In theory, be gone till after the first of the year. We hope sooner, but it is what it is. And we're going to pray for these things in a minute. I'm going to get ready for baptism. Andrew, we recording that? All right, let's rock and roll. We're going to do this and change the order of service. If we have our young kids and they want to come up here on the stage and sit still and quietly and low, they can. And we'll be with you in 2 seconds. You ready? All right. All right, yeah, come on up, guys. Go ahead and let's climb in, David. David is from, their family's from Bulgaria, but they live here in Oklahoma, but they're all up here. And that next to front row there, we're very excited and proud of David and his decision. Church, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 28. And it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us today, we baptize David today, who we called to be his own. David, presenting yourself for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want to study him, know him, love him, and serve him as a disciple. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes is the answer to that. Do you trust in him? Yes is the answer there. Do you intend to be his disciple and to obey his word and show his love? All right. David, George, Stefanoff, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. David, welcome to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Go now and live in his love and serve him. Congratulations, David. We're very excited for you. As David gets out of the baptism, let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, we praise you today for calling us to be a servant people, for adding to the numbers today through baptism. Together may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the same mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Remind us of the promises given in our own baptism and renew our trust in you today. Lord, make us strong to obey your will and to serve you with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ferris family, you guys can go sit back down. Ferris family, if you'll come up to the front of the platform. You guys didn't hear what I just said back there, did you, as I rounded the corner? I found a shirt I was looking for. Okay. All right. Those of you that would like to pray for the Pharisees, again, they're moving on to Washington, D.C. They'll be there for about a year. They plan on returning back to Oklahoma, and we hope and pray that they will find a place there that's good for them. We hope and pray that when they return, they'll return to us as well. We have Michelle and Brett, Aiden and Ainsley here. Aiden and Ainsley, how old are you? 11. Good Lord, they grow up quick, so quick. So what I want to do, we're going to have people pray over them. We'll pray over everyone as a church body. But if you'd like to pray over the Pharisees, go ahead and come on up here. We're going to have Austin, if you'll come up here as well. You can pray over the Pharisees over here. Austin, if you'll come down here. If you'd like to pray over Austin and his next journey, if you'll come up here and pray with him. And then David will be out in just a minute. He'll come down here. If you would like to pray over David, we'll pray over him. And what we're going to do is we have some music playing. We'll just allow you to pray for a minute, and then we'll close this prayer at the end, and a community prayer as well for all these individuals. As we do this, thank you so much. Cindy reminded me, I had on there, but I forgot. Mark and Jan Caldwell. Cindy is going to stand in for Mark Caldwell. If you'd like to pray for Mark and Jan, if you would come pray over Cindy, interceding for Mark right there, standing in for him. And you can move around as well to these individuals. I will pray over these individuals as a church body. We can continue praying individually here as we end the service. Would you just bow your heads with me as we close out in prayer? Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with the Pharisees today, with Brett, Michelle, Aiden, and Ainsley, Lord. We ask you to be with them as they travel. Lord, we ask you to be with them as they set up their new home, their new work, their new schools and activities. Lord, that you would protect them, you would watch over them, you would give them a place to be with other believers. You would allow them to take the light from prayer of faith with them and return them safely. Lord, we ask you to be with Mark and Jan Caldwell. Lord, as they just face the uncertain future of health. Lord, we pray as the ultimate physician that you would be working in their lives right now, bringing peace and comfort to them. Lord, that you'd be with David and his new journey of moving on from baptism. Lord, we thank you for that step in his faith journey that he has taken. Strengthen him. Allow him to be that light and beacon as a young man. Father, we lift up Austin, that you would protect him, keep him safe. Lord, that you would allow him to take what he knows in your word, to be a light and beacon to the men and women he goes to be with. Lord, that you would not hold his young age against him, as your word says, but you would raise him up. Lord, where you said of your son, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." We ask you to help him hold on to his faith, to know you and to serve you in whatever he's doing. Lord, we ask these things in your son's name. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful and blessed week. And know that Jesus Christ loves you. And we hope to see you next week and Wednesday evening for Bible study. God bless you.